Today's What's the Big Idea podcast is brought to you by Citywire South Africa. Make better investments. In this podcast, we speak to investment professionals about their latest big idea. With me today is Chris Stewart from 91 in Cape Town. With me is Chris Stewart, Sector Head Financials at 91 in Cape Town. We're going to talk about South African banks. Do they offer value or are they a value trap? Now, Chris, you sent me a piece and it says, judging by discount to book value, the universe of global banks is the cheapest it has been at any time since the global financial crisis. So where do we look now? Do we look to avoid or do we look to embrace?
Yeah, Lindsay, it's tempting to say that because banks are trading at as big a discount to book as they've traded in recent history, they must be cheap. And I guess one might have said that on a number of occasions over the last few years, particularly if you look at the Global Banks Index, even more so if you look at the European Banks Index, which has been trading at sort of 40 to 50% of book for the last decade or so. And you've got to ask yourself the question, are banks necessarily going to revert to book value? Is book value some sort of benchmark against which one should compare value? And quite frankly, if you look at the returns that banks are generating, they are consistently generating returns well below their deemed cost of capital. And in many cases, as a consequence of that, trading at a discount to book value, to me, doesn't necessarily indicate a particular value story.
Okay. So the legacy and the history doesn't apply at present because of the extraordinary circumstances. Are we saying it's different this time?
I'm saying that there are a number of factors at play that have kept banks' returns very, very low and that may well keep banks' returns low into the future. Those factors, some of them are idiosyncratic, depending on which bank you talk about. Some of them are more structural. One of the key factors one needs to look at is where are global interest rates, and we've seen that global interest rates are at all-time lows in many, many geographies, and in fact have moved into negative territory in many geographies. And the level of interest rates is clearly a key driver of the margins that banks can earn on the intermediation activity that they perform. In other words, they bring in deposits at one rate, they lend out that money at a differentiated rate, and hopefully the margin that they generate is sufficient after covering costs, after covering the cost of bad debts, in order to generate a return to shareholders in excess of their cost of capital. And we're not seeing that happen. And a lot of the reason why we're not seeing that happen is because interest rates are so low. And with low interest rates, you tend to see bank margins under enormous pressure. And with bank margins under pressure, they're simply not generating the returns that shareholders would be looking for. The other key factors obviously involve the change in the regulatory environment since the global financial crisis, where banks have been forced to hold substantially more capital than they were holding in the past. And obviously, if you're holding more capital than you were in the past, similar sort of returns would generate much lower returns on equity.
For the first time in recent history, you say the SA banking sector is also trading in aggregate at a discount to book value, which presents a potential, the word potential being the operative word here, investment opportunity. The downside risks to the local banking sector, you say, are manifold, but by far the biggest risk facing the banks is credit quality. Maybe you could expand briefly on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're in an environment where there is no doubt banks are going to see credit costs increase, and we're going to see credit costs increase quite dramatically. At this stage, it's difficult to predict exactly how bad it's going to get, but most of the banks you speak to, the only reference point I guess they've got in the last generation anyway is the global financial crisis, where we saw credit costs spike up in 2008 and 2009. And one can easily surmise that credit costs this time around, in the wake of what is a depressed domestic economy anyway, accentuated by the economic shutdown that we've seen in the first half of this year, and all of the impacts on the economy that we're going to see panning out over the next 12 to 18 months as a consequence of that, it's very easy to surmise that credit costs this time around are going to exceed the previous peaks that we saw at the time of the global financial crisis.
Our central scenario, you say, is the South African banking sector is to remain profitable and adequately capitalized in aggregate in 2020, but you remain concerned about the very real downside risks. We have a neutral weight in the sector, you go on to say, and are selective in terms of our stock-specific exposures. This sounds like it's a very difficult position for you as the sector head of financials at 91. You don't know what to do. It's just that it's on a knife edge at the moment, it seems to me.
The environment is very unpredictable. the extent to which the economy can emerge from lockdown, the timing around the emergence from lockdown, and the extent of the recovery post-lockdown are all key questions, and there's a high degree of uncertainty around those at the moment. We've also got a government that, you know, has not been delivering over the last number of years. We've got, you know, a budget deficit that is growing and becoming of concern. And as we've seen in any economy you look at across the globe, it's very, very difficult to distinguish between sovereign risk and bank risk in the event that you start to see the fiscal discipline and the fiscal situation of the sovereign starting to slip. So many, many risks out there. The banks ostensibly offer value, trading, you know, as you indicate, for the first time in a very, very long time at discounts to book value. However, that doesn't necessarily, I think, mean that we're going to see this massive rally in banks and that you're going to make a large amount of money over the next 12 to 18 months by buying banks. And ironically, I also wouldn't necessarily go out there and buy the banks that optically appear the cheapest simply by trading at the biggest discounts to book value.
Chris, thanks so much for your analysis. That's Chris Stewart, Sector Head Financials at 91 in Cape Town. That What's the Big Idea podcast was brought to you by Citywire South Africa. Make better investments. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.